Your agency will run just fine even if there's a big disaster, because Richard Reed transformed national plans to make sure the government will continue to function if there is such a disaster. That work's made him a Service to America Medal finalist in the Homeland Security section, and we talk to him now. Richard, congratulations on this nomination. It must be pretty exciting.
Thank you very much, Francis. Actually, it's exciting and most humbling, and what an honor to be recognized along with so many other dedicated professionals in the government space. I think it's great credit upon all of the finalists, but it's just very humbling to be part of that group.
9/11 changed the way that we think about COOP, and it drove a lot of the focus to what happens, what do we do, who functions how, if there's a terrorist attack. Do you think maybe we spend a little bit too much time focusing on that kind of attack and not on other kinds of disasters that could potentially happen?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting question. And frankly, at the end of the day, the method of the disruption is less important than the effects, if you will, of the disruption. And so what we've constructed really is a policy document that says, regardless of the nature of the event, whether it's a man-made event or a natural event or an accident, it's important that we are able to identify quickly the functions that are necessary for the organization to maintain, and then resource those functions. In other words, task organize around those functions to ensure that they are ongoing, and if interrupted, only interrupted for the shortest amount of time possible.
Do those functions, the most important, most critical functions, stay the same? Are they static, or are they dynamic, changing from time to time?
It's a great question, Francis. I'm glad you asked it. The president has said that there are 8 national essential functions that are pretty constant, and they're generally pretty aspirational in nature and less tied to one particular department or agency within the federal government or, frankly, to one branch of government. But the bigger question, or the more important question to enable those to continue, is what is it that you do within your department or agency to support one or more of those? And those are the ones, I think, that change over time as missions of departments and agencies change, as new laws are made that cause departments and agencies to do things differently. And so there's some flexibility in terms of how we, you know, what algorithm do we apply to identifying an essential function for an agency, and how does that support a national function?
All right. When you started developing the National Continuity Policy and the National Continuity Policy Implementation Plan, what did the government have already, and what prompted the need to do what you worked on? Was this an update, or was it a situation where you said the world has just changed and we need to be aware of how the world has changed and change our readiness plans accordingly?
Yeah, that's a great question again. I think, you know, what happened, we essentially operated continuity policy as a subject of endeavor is pretty stable over time. We've not had that many in the course of our history, although it is interesting to note that even in the earliest days of our government, you know, we have used these continuity approaches to ensure government functions. And so in the days of John Adams, you know, when the Continental Congress was convened in Philadelphia, they actually had to leave Philadelphia because of the yellow fever epidemic and ensure that government continued to function. So it's not a new program. It's not a new approach. The approach that we operated under for the better part of, 10 or 12 years was actually produced in the Clinton administration. And post 9/11, we were asked to take a look at the continuity policy, look at the threats and vulnerabilities the country faced, and determine whether or not we could, you know, update that approach. In other words, learn from the past 200 years, and in particular from 9/11, where we were really faced with a more asymmetric threat than a typical Cold War sort of threat that we operated under for many years. And so it was really an effort to refocus the policy document to leverage the capabilities and the resources that the executive branch, legislative, and judicial branches, but also at the state and local level, bring to the fight. and come up with a very distributed model for ensuring continuity of operations, continuity of government, and this notion of enduring constitutional government.
Richard Reed is Special Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs and Senior Director for Resilience Policy, career federal employee, as a finalist for a SAMMY this year in the Homeland Security Medal classification, recognizing a federal employee for a significant contribution to the nation and activities related to homeland security, including border and transportation security, emergency preparedness and response, intelligence, and law enforcement. Congratulations, Richard. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Happy to have you on. It's 425 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and you can find out all about all of the people who are nominated for SAMMYs at federalnewsradio.com. Search term SAMMYs.